about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, everybody, big news. Leslie, would you like to do the honors?
No, I think you should deliver the news.
Yeah, but you're the candidate.
Yeah, but you're the brilliant campaign manager.
But you're the cutest.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Hey, were you going to tell us something?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Yeah! Yeah! Everybody! Your mom, die, your mom, die, your mom, die,
yeah. I just kind of got along thinking that it wouldn't last this long, but it's been 2 weeks now and this hasn't stopped.
And now.
You sound like a lunatic. It is unreal. Just sneeze like a normal person.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, sneeze like a normal person. Like the other girl that did it for 2 weeks.
Can't help it.
Yeah.
It's not my fault, as the great beer mug once said. Or Dave, the King of Mexico, or whoever's quote that was.
Yeah. No, Muggs knows it's his fault.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Tuesday morning.
What's going on, guys?
What's happening? What's up?
What's the latest?
What's new? What's haps?
Seriously? I want to talk about ice cream trucks this morning. Are they still a thing? Are ice cream trucks a thing? Do you see them? Do you have those in your neighborhood, Kevin?
I don't. No.
I do.
Yeah. Do you?
Yep.
Do you, Lisa? Yep. Muggs, you do too?
Why am I getting ripped off?
I don't know.
That is
fancy,
weird.
Fancy neighborhood.
Is that what it is?
We have actual sidewalk.
Yeah. Do you guys, I'm sure Muggs, I'm sure before the diet, I'm sure you were out there 100% of the time when you heard the ice cream truck,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And by before the diet, you mean all the way through the diet.
Ice cream trucks just seem like one of those things that's too good to be true. I mean, somebody brings you a wide assortment of, you know, hundreds of different ice creams for a reasonable price practically to your front door. And all you have to do is step outside and just have it.
Right. But the people that drive those trucks and bring the ice cream are not people you want around you.
What's wrong with them?
That is, they do look suspect.
I don't know.
I will say that. Yeah,
they're like serial killers running from the law in another state. It's just how they strike me.
That's weird. Why? Just because they want to work with children? Is that why you draw that conclusion?
I don't know. Just, and seeing them, they're not, it doesn't attract the 1% of beauty. I'll tell you that.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because I'm very disappointed to report this story. But Pasco, Washington is investigating either banning or fining or making ice cream trucks turn their music down because there have been noise complaints in the neighborhood about the ice cream truck. And they have a law that says in Pasco, if you can hear it 75 feet away, it's too loud. And they came up with a law because people would blast their stereos too long going through the neighborhood, too loud going through the neighborhood, or they would have cars that were noisy and they can give you a noise ticket, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now some tight asses have said, I can hear the ice cream truck. And now they're talking about giving people tickets, like ordering people to give tickets to the ice cream truck if you can hear the sound 75 feet away, which is the whole point of the ice cream truck, is to let the kids know who are in the house, hey, the truck's here, come
That's
out for
know.
Some ice cream.
Right. Huh. Come who out can, and get your fat.
I'd like them to upgrade the quality of the music. I'd like that, so it doesn't sound like a super old ringtone from
you
back
want,
in
like,
the day.
Like a Beethoven symphony
I don't
or
know.
Something?
Not the music. I'm saying the sound system.
Oh, I
it needs
see.
To sound. It's pretty hollow and sharp, and they could do that.
Jazz it up a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of, I mean, it does kind of, it's a classic, though. I mean, it's one thing that has kind of stayed the same throughout the decades is
sure.
the music on the ice cream truck. I mean, I don't think you want it to be a stereo. You know, you don't want it to be playing rock music. Music or
I
worse,
do.
Black Eyed Peas or something. Do you?
I'd like it to be Jay-Z all the time.
But that's just some guy driving down the street with his radio turned up loud is all that is. That doesn't have the...
The what?
It doesn't have the quality of an ice cream truck announcing it's that it's in the neighborhood. You wouldn't even know it was the ice cream truck, by the way. It could just be a guy driving by in his car if it was Jay-Z.
Right, but it's
you need something
so,
that
it's
you need something that announces
sound.
That it's the ice cream truck.
Yeah, but can't they do that without such an annoying sound?
What do you recommend?
I already told you. I would like.
And I came back to you and said, then how would you know it was an ice cream truck and not somebody's car with a radio turned up?
Because the only way you know it's an ice cream truck is that it's ear-piercing, blood-coming-from-your-ears type music, then I don't want it. That's what I'm saying.
So you have no solution.
He doesn't want the ice cream.
The ice cream truck music is no good. Regular music won't work.
Okay, take it easy. We're just talking about ice cream trucks.
No, that's why I'm curious. I'd love take to know how you would solve this.
I would suggest Polly
in a red shirt.
In every city.
The official ice cream truck music of summer.
Right. But David Lynch would be on the ice cream truck singing.
I don't know that I want to live in a world where they fine you because your ice cream truck plays little music when it goes through the neighborhood. I'm just saying. That seems like – doesn't it do nothing but make the little kids happy? When the little kids hear the ice cream truck music, I would think that's the happiest sound in the world in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
All you need is mom to give you $2 and you're out the door and you get delicious ice cream.
It used to be a quarter.
It did, yeah.
Whatever it is. I assume it's at least $2 now.
I'm sure you're right.
It makes me sad. That's all I'm saying. I don't like it. I don't. And Pasco, Washington gets no more of my business.
You've never been there, have you? That's not going to hurt him.
I don't know that I have ever been there, actually, right. But I'm definitely not going now.
Me
if this is the way they're gonna, if this is the way they're going to treat the ice cream guy.
He's nostalgic because there's no ice cream guy where Bean lives.
No, of course not.
No guy of any kind where Bean lives. That's why he lives there.
I just don't like it. I don't. I'm writing. I think I will write a strongly worded letter. I think that's on my menu for today.
Wow.
Write Pasco and say what up.
That'll help.
What up?
To write Pasco and say what up will help.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Even though you don't live there.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Well, I don't think anyone knows what you're talking about, but it does seem like things couldn't get any worse.
All right. Good. Mr. Movie Phone will be here in studio to take a look at the summer blockbusters.
Excellent.
The summer
Mr.
ahead.
Movie Phone.
Yes.
He saw Battleship last night.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear.
As the summer movies are definitely here, the Avengers and... And what was the one that came out before the... Oh, The Hunger Games. Once The Hunger Games came, that's how early the summer movie season seemed to start this year.
Yeah.
We also have Muggs weigh in today. Find out how many pounds he gained.
Yep. Feeling good, Muggs?
Yep. I mean, lost?
Yep.
We have American Idiot tickets for you today, but we're going to have you earn them coming up in the next hour.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy that. It's Tuesday is Book Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. As you know, we do have our book club. I think that's us. Thomas Foley is the name of an author who wrote a book called Most Wanted, Pursuing Whitey Bulger.
Oh.
Whitey Bulger was a giant gangster in the Boston area. And he was number 2 on the FBI's Most Wanted list, behind Osama bin Laden. That's not bad.
And he was living in plain sight for decades.
In Santa Monica.
Not in a cave in Pakistan, just living amongst us.
Uh-huh. For 20 years, just living
just
in Santa
down
Monica.
The street.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I wonder what that was like for him. I mean, at some point, do you relax or are you always looking over your shoulder?
I would think always looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Do you think he's the guy, by the way, who called us and said,
"This is such a
money
guy."
We didn't know about time, that. But he was trying to give clues and no one was paying attention. sports jinxes. What's up? Why does that happen? Why do people get so mad? Why? What's the whole
Did
thing behind
it? Did this start with you two on Twitter talking about the Kings?
Oh, well, Kevin said there's no way the Kings can't win the cup at this point.
Kevin did not say that.
That's what I heard. That's how I remember it.
If you say that, you're jinxing
Somebody
them.
Else said that, so I responded, there is no such thing as a jinx. That's stupid. But don't say that right now out loud. And then Kevin said, that there's no way they could lose now. So that gets the ire of all of the sports fans up at me, which I didn't say. But jinxes, I mean, come on.
It does seem ridiculous.
It's really stupid. There's no sports gods up there going, oop, that guy already counted his chickens before they hatched.
But still, just in case, don't say it.
And we have Sacha Baron Cohen on the program today.
How about that?
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
He is the dictator. We're going to talk to him coming up this morning as well. And we have your tickets to see the Black Keys. So keep listening for those. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Black Keys tickets for you on today's Kevin and Bean Show and all week long here on KROQ, plus a black key that could start the minivan right off the album cover of El Camino. You see what they did there?
How do we do it?
I don't get it.
Clever.
It's a band called the Black Keys.
I don't see the connection.
Black.
Why do they have to be so obscure with their contests?
You can go to KROQ.com for all those details and keep listening for your chance to win. Hi, Ralph Garman. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you. Good to hear you. How you doing?
I'm better, thank you. Thanks for picking up the slack while I was out. But I was walking around like a question mark yesterday. could not stand upright.
Oh, my.
It was bad. It was some sort of back issue. And I got to my magical chiropractor, who's great, but... And it's better, obviously. I'm walking upright unlike a Neanderthal for the first time in 48 hours, but it's still not right, and that concerns me, because I know everyone here at this station has some sort of back issue. Yeah. Kevin, of course, has worked...
It does not catch, though.
With the back problems for a long time, and Bean's got them, too, and I think it is. I think there's
we need a class action lawsuit. Around. Let's sue K-Rock for giving us all back trouble.
Yeah. So, I like it. Anyway, I'm better, and I'm back, so thanks for covering.
Well, let's hear how showbiz news is supposed to be done,
because right.
we clearly can't do it.
Yeah, I was...
We know.
What?
Yeah, you always say that when you're gone.
We know how bad it is and that you're the garbage.
No, I was saying I was bedridden the better part of yesterday, and when I got back from the chiropractor, I finally had a chance to look at my tweets.
Uh-huh.
And I saw Dave the King of Mexico just tweeting out SOS for me. I didn't know what was going on.
Oh.
But he just said, "Oh, Ralph, come back. He's a mess." Yeah. And I didn't know what was going on. So.
The normal mess when you're gone.
I thought something spectacular had happened because he's... He found it tweet-worthy, so I thought maybe somebody killed somebody in the middle
of it. He just said good morning on his tweet.
Yeah, we need to stop reading his tweets.
To the Dodgers.
He said good morning to the Dodgers?
Yes.
Well, he wants to wake up his boys in blue.
Do you think that helps? Do you think they get the message? Come on.
I don't know, man.
Maybe try to come with something more than good morning.
Maybe it's a jinx.
Could be.
Before I get to showbiz news, I have tickets to give away to a very special K-Rock advance screening of Men in Black 3.
Yeah! Can't wait.
I am really looking forward to this. I am not a big sequel, reboot, remake guy, but this looks awesome, and looks clever, and it looks like it's actually a brand new story with these characters versus just the same old thing redone. So Men in Black 3, it's happening on the Sony lot Wednesday, May the 23rd. It's in theaters everywhere on May the 25th, so you see it a couple days before everybody else. I want to give it to some true Men in Black fans, though, however. I don't want to just hand them out. So here's a trivia question for you. Men in Black... as all good things do, started as a comic book.
No kidding.
Yeah. Just tell me the name of the guy who created the Men in Black series. The writer of the Men in Black comic book. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two callers to get through will get a pair of passes to attend the very special advanced screening of Men in Black 3. Congratulations to Gail Kim of the WWE and Food Network host Robert Irvine. They got married last week. Anybody know who either of these two people are?
No, I sure don't.
Not a bit.
I sure don't either. The reason that caught my eye is that Gail Kim is a WWE diva. She's one of those female wrestlers.
Right.
Very, very attractive. But she's good pals with Stacy Keibler because Stacy, of course, started out as a WWE diva as well. Stacy couldn't go to her good friend's wedding because she was too busy entertaining the Obamas over at George's house while they were in town. So
I've had that same problem. It's weird.
You had to blow off your friend's wedding because you're entertaining the president?
It's difficult, but sometimes decisions need to be made, you know.
You know, we joke, but I bet it was difficult for her.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I bet she was like, George, I don't know, I might have to go. No, the Obamas are coming. You'll be here. That's where you'll be. And he gave her the back of his hand. In my fantasy. Kevin, I'm surprised you're here. I thought you would be home mourning.
Mourning.
The passing of Mitchell Geist.
I don't know what that is.
I think you do.
Okay.
He was the man on Swamp People.
Oh, I did see that yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, the Swamp Dude.
He is the Swamp Dude.
With like a tooth.
He is the one-tooth Swamp Dude.
Aww. What happened to the one-tooth Swamp Dude?
He was in his boat along the Bell River yesterday, Lisa, when he fell. And was returned to shore by an eyewitness. Emergency responders could not save him, so they think he drowned in the river.
That isn't good for you.
Bystanders say he seemed to suffer some sort of seizure on the boat when he fell into the water.
Oh, okay.
And
I was afraid, like, he hunts alligators and stuff. I was afraid an alligator guy.
That would be the way to go, though.
That would be the way to go.
That would be the coolest.
Like Amos Moses.
I guess.
But he... they say his friends and family say at least he was on the swamp doing what he loved when he passed. So they got that going.
I hope people say that about me.
At least he was on the swamp.
Well,
you got
to die here. You're going to have to die here. Well, they won't say you would die doing what you loved if you were here.
How dare you.
You'd have to be at a Kings game or something.
Kevin is going to die at Burning Man. It's already written.
That's true.
Yeah. And sad news. Playboy magazine has announced they are turning down Patricia Kensel.
Good.
Krenzel.
Oh, is that the orange lady?
She's the tanning mom, Lisa, yes.
Good.
Tanning mom will not be in the pages of Playboy magazine.
Good. That's not what we go there for, let's be honest.
I don't know how this all came about. Apparently some reporter asked her if she'd be interested in doing Playboy, and she said yes, of course. So Playboy quickly released a press release saying no, they're not interested, they're not offering, no conversations, nothing's happening, go away, stop it.
Do you think she has tan lines, you guys?
No.
She's an all over.
Ugh.
That's why you go to a tanning booth.
Yes. She's just so hideous on every level.
She is hideous.
The good news is, though, she is talking to several producers about a reality series.
That I would watch, because it seems like to me like she's crazy.
Can we stop rewarding the dangerous loons of the world by giving them TV shows?
Apparently
does it entertain
not.
Us? No.
She took her young daughter into the tanning booth with her.
Oh, I agree.
And the kid got burned because she had it turned up to 11. And now they're going to give her a reality series because she's nuts.
She take the kid away, but then give her the reality
series. The
series? Yeah.
So we take away the children and give them a TV show?
Yeah.
I see. And lastly, while we're talking about crazy people and reality shows, The X Factor is going into production. Britney Spears, of course, will be one of the judges alongside Simon Cowell. And she's already making her demands.
All right.
She said that she must be seated right next to Simon. She has to have the seat next to him. He's on the end, and there's a judge in the middle and one on the end. She needs to be right next to Simon.
Okay.
She's already demanding.
Odd.
And she wants a staff to write a number of jokes for her.
All right.
That she can have at the ready while she is bantering with Simon back and forth and doing her judgely duties.
I would love to
can't
hear
wait.
Her. Even if she had writers, I would love to hear her try to pull it off.
Especially if she has writers.
Yes.
If she has to try to remember jokes and deliver them. Could be magic time.
Don't you feel like you're going for the celebrity factor, but they're not going with people who are going to be entertaining or that we're going to want to come back to?
I think she'll be entertaining.
I think it's a downgrade.
It's not the celebrity factor, first of all, being it's the X Factor. Get the name
well,
of the show
yes,
right.
That's true. You and know what I'm saying, though?
I do. I would rather have a nobody who was clever and funny off the cuff than to have somebody with a recognizable name that's not that interesting.
Absolutely.
To watch.
Speaking of judges,
yeah.
Did you guys tune into any of Howard Stern's debut on America's Got Talent last night?
I
did not.
How was it?
He was, you know, he's very good, obviously. He's a very talented guy, but he kind of takes over the show.
Really?
I mean, he kind of talks.
That's not a
surprise. 90% of what was coming from the judges' table was Howard Stern. I mean, there's very little Howie and very little Sharon as a result of that.
I heard Sharon already not happy over there, by the way.
Oh, sweet. Really?
Yeah, that's the rumor. That's the word on the street.
But I'd be curious to see how, you know, that's already a very popular show. But I will tell you, more than ever now, Nick Cannon is completely unnecessary. I mean, he's terrible anyway, but he brings nothing to that show, especially when you got Howard, who's pretty much moving things along on his own.
Well, you know, he's directing his own feature film, Nick Cannon, so maybe he'll be busy soon.
Yeah.
He is directing his own
really?
Oh, yeah, he just announced he's written and he's directing a film about a guy who wants to join the dance club in high school but keeps freezing up when it's time to perform and has to get over his stage fright.
Okay.
You know how it is when you're desperate to join the dance clique at
nothing,
high school?
Nothing that you just said sounds good.
No, it's awful.
Yes, we do have a winner, Ralph.
Okay.
That's what you're going to ask.
Might as well. Let's do that. Let's go to Monique. Monique, are you a comic book fan? No, you're just a Men in Black fan?
Yeah, I love Men in Black.
Who is the writer of the comic book that introduced us to the Men in Black?
Lowell Cunningham.
Lowell Cunningham is correct.
Lowell Cunningham.
Congratulations, you little spitfire. You're going to see Men in Black 3 before anybody else.
Yay.
Are you at work or still in bed?
I'm at work.
Oh,
at
okay.
work. Okay. You work in a parakeet store?
A petting zoo?
Yeah, at a petting zoo.
All right.
All right. Okay. All right, smartass. Hold on. We'll give you all the details. Congratulations also to Joey, who also had the correct answer.
I want to talk to her all morning.
She's a spitfire.
I like Men in Black.
I'm looking forward to it. It's a good time. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chaz Palminteri, very talented actor, is 60 years old today. Sports radio and TV show host Dan Patrick turns 56. Russell Hornsby of Grimm fame is 38 years old. David Krumholtz, who was on Numbers for many seasons, is 34. Jamie Lynn Ziegler, who played Meadow on The Sopranos, she's 31 years old. Brad Schultz, guitarist for Cage the Elephant, celebrates his 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Monday. Sacha Baron Cohen himself is going to be joining us on the program. As himself, by the way, not as the dictator. And I don't think I've seen a single interview of him talking about, you know, making that movie since he started the promotion of this. So
yeah,
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Usually those are the rules. If you want to have him, you have to talk to the dictator, the character, not the actual person. So that's going to be
exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Mr. Movie Phone comes in, too, to talk about all the big summer movies. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air right now. This is our voicemail we have set up for you at 323-520-AFRO. You call on any time. Topic, we play it back on the radio.
I gotta say, the people love us.
I just called to say you.
Aw, that
It's a good pull.
It didn't go where I thought it was going.
It was a good pull from 20 years ago, a Stevie Wonder song.
Yeah.
The Blows. Here's somebody that's questioning an employee of ours.
I have made 4 AfroLine calls this year. 3 of them have been played on the air. That means I have been funny or entertaining 75% of the time. Beer Mug, you have been on the air every day this year, and you can't come close to even 3%. Why is it you're getting a paycheck and I'm not?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Life is not fair, sir. Sorry to tell you that.
Lakers, playoffs. Clippers, round 2, surprisingly. Kings, playoffs. The world really is going to end this year.
Yeah, that's bizarre, isn't it?
It is.
It's a strange time.
I was wondering how often the Kings play, because every day Kevin comes in and he says, oh, I was at a Kings game last night. It's at the point where I don't know if I'm listening to the podcast or the live broadcast, but every day he says, oh, I was at a Kings game last night. I don't even know what day it is anymore.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it's a problem that you have.
If you follow Kevin, I think what happens is Kevin wakes up and he feels drunk and he goes, what did I do last night? I must have been in a Kings game.
That's not true.
But it does seem like she's right that they do play more than the Dodgers, and I haven't figured out how yet.
No, they're in the playoffs and they're going a long way, so I go to every home game.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's not that often. I'm not going tonight. I'm not going tomorrow. I'm going Thursday.
So the weekend of the Weenie Roast, you went Friday and Sunday, right?
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
It was. It was fantastic. It was the best. What do you people have against me? I don't speak English well when I don't go, so what difference does it make?
That's a good point.
Come
good
on
point.
Now.
Please, please, don't talk to the Kings. Don't talk to them. Every year you curse them. Please, stop talking to the Kings. Look back the last few years. You talk to them, you ruin their streak.
Yeah.
All right, who have we had on from the Kings during the playoffs this year? We had Andre Kopitar on, right?
Yes.
And then who do we have on just a few days ago? Matt Green. We had Matt Green on. Excuse me, they haven't lost a game, I don't think, since we had either of those guys
on. Quick, knock on wood. Do something.
I would suggest that you find callers and send us a thank you basket for interviewing us.
Yes, absolutely.
As we are responsible for the wins.
In fact, you ought to be asking us right now, guys, can you get Brownie on during this series? Because clearly whatever you're doing is working.
That's what I'm talking about.
Doesn't work
okay,
that
I'm
way.
Here. I'm at my church's barbecue, but I don't see Tenacious D. Did I guess wrong?
No, you were right. They just came in at a different time.
By the way, we didn't get a chance to do much follow-up on that, but the D was here last week, and they were dropping as many hints as they could about where they were going to be, and it was at a Ribs USA restaurant in Burbank. Lisa, you went to that. How fun was it?
It was awesome. They're so great. They just stood up on some tables and played.
Sweet.
And we all ate delicious ribs and barbecue chicken and coleslaw, and it was just an awesome time.
It must have been so surreal to just be sitting there in that restaurant, by the way, that you've eaten at many times before, and have Tenacious D performing live for you, 6 inches in front of your face.
Truly a weird, weird day, which is all you get from them.
Love it. Love it so much.
Bean's a dick.
Hey!
Bean's a dick.
Hey!
Bean's a dick. Dick, 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 dick.
I don't know that I approve of that at all.
One of the best songs ever.
It does make me want to hear a little bit of the original, though.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
Sweat, 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 sweat,
sweat. I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. Standing on a car, finger up in the air. With some women's with my fingers in their hair.
Sweat, 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 sweat.
Yes, I be the one that wins Street Fighter tournaments. Make $1 million without even earning it. I got the highest score in the world on my SAT. And then I went to Everest to learn how to slay them trees. I don't have to count to know I'm worth a billion. You know what bigger number, I am worth a gillion. I'm the best at watching 1990s videos. Power Rangers, all that keen and kill, all here it goes. I'm the best at making beats, that's right, my voice the track. And my swag is off the charts, that's a fact. I'm the best. I'm the best.
You know they had to listen
I'm
back.
They had to what? Listen back?
They had to listen back and go, yes. Yes, that's it.
You can call the Kevin and Bean Afro Line at 323-520-AFRO. And if you can remember one more phone number, call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Thank you. We're giving away tickets for The American Idiot. It is playing in Costa Mesa at the Cedarstrom Center for the Arts. Now, this is the play that won all those Tonys based on the Green Day album of the same name, American Idiot. We got a new game we're going to debut for you right now if you want to give us a call. What's that number again, Kevin?
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls and we'll play.
American Idiot is the play coming to Costa Mesa. Lisa, it says here pronounced Cedarstrom. You're telling me they're wrong.
They're wrong. It's Cedarstrom.
It sure looks like it should be pronounced Cedarstrom.
No, and the Cedarstrom family has owned tons of land throughout Orange County forever.
Can I suggest it doesn't matter?
I love wrong information.
Makes it sound foolish.
Yes, yeah. I'm the one who's been saying it wrong because of the stupid paper. All right, Tony Award-winning American Idiot is the play just for 6 days, May 29th through June 3rd at the Cedarstrom. If you want to win tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067, you'll have to win this game. It's called Famous Idiots. Okay. Hey, indeed, exactly. All right, 1-800-520-1067.
Omar, you're not allowed to take any more days off.
Yeah, I noticed. That did leave this reviewer cold, I'll tell you that. Who's our first contestant to name a famous idiot?
That would be Jason, who is a delivery driver. Hi, Jason.
Good.
I cannot hear Jason.
I can't hear him. You can, but I can't
hear him. How about that?
Why would I feel like this game is working on every single level.
We are the idiots.
Hello, Jason.
As it turns out.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
There you go. Well done, my friend. All right. We have audio clues for famous idiots today. I'm going to play the audio clue, and then all you have to do is tell us who the famous idiot is. Now, comb your mind for all the possibilities of who would be referred to as a famous idiot. For instance, who is this famous idiot? Film critic.
Let me ask you a question. You take an Asian guy and an Indian guy, marijuana. Hilarity then ensues.
There's a movie critic talking about the Harold and Kumar film. Who is that famous idiot?
That would be Beer Mug.
That's correct. This is a game about famous idiots. Nicely done. You hold on.
I see what you're doing.
All right. Let's go to Frank. Hi, Frank.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning, Frank.
All right, Frank. This is a music critic, a famous music critic who's also an idiot. This time talking to the band Sum 41.
You've been playing music for all your life.
Yeah.
Almost. Do you ever... I played a little bit of music. Not as intense as you did. I never toured or anything like that. Just do you ever find monotony?
I think there this was... is a game about famous idiots. Who is that famous idiot?
Can you play it one more time?
Nope.
No, sorry.
Bit of a theme going here.
I don't have a clue.
Okay. Thank you for right,
too bad. On. That was also was Beer Mug
as
we
well.
Thought you might put that together. Okay, that was Beer Mug this time. Who's our next contestant?
Our next is Bill, an EMT. Hi, Bill.
How you doing?
Good.
All right, Bill, here's a famous idiot who's also a world-class partier talking about the craziest night of his life.
I mean, it looks insane. I've been to a lot of high school parties when I was in high school and college, and the worst thing that ever happened at my house was there's a cigarette burn in my mom's couch, and she got mad at me. That was it.
Who's that famous idiot?
No idea.
Okay.
Wow, this game was harder than I thought.
Good work.
Again? This is a game about famous idiots. Again, that was... Beer mug. Yeah. It was a theme.
Can I give a hint? People mind? The answer is beer mug.
How dare you give it away like that?
Yeah, you said I could give a hint. All right. Let's go to Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Julie's a teacher.
Yes, Julie, I am.
We're moving into the world of the Occupy Wall Street movement right now. Here's one of the guys who really put his finger on the crucial question of the movement, which is, where do you go to the bathroom?
Let me ask you, how have you taken care of the, the normal hygienic procedures?
Name that idiot.
Beer mug. Yeah. This is a game of the
famous idiots. Nicely done.
It was beer mug. Well done. I think we have time for one more, maybe?
We do. Let's go to Eddie. Hi, Eddie.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hey, by the way, how many pair do we have to give away here, Bean?
We have three.
Well, this will be our third winner.
This will work out nicely.
This will work out perfectly.
All right, listen up. Here's your question. The actor Lou Ferrigno, most famous for portraying the Incredible Hulk in the 1970s, a recent contestant on Celebrity Apprentice, has been interviewed thousands of times in his life. But this may be the worst question anyone has ever asked him. Name this famous idiot.
How has life been for you up to today?
Name that idiot.
That would be the one and only Beer Mug.
That's correct.
Yeah.
This is a game of the
famous idiots. How has your life been up until today?
So if I'm doing the math correctly, I believe Jason wins, Julie wins, Eddie wins. They're all going to
see
American Idiot. You can buy your own tickets on sale now at scfta.org. Thanks for playing Famous Idiot. This is a game of the famous. About 20 minutes from now, we're going to talk about how Kevin claims the Kings will not only win this year's Stanley Cup, but probably the next five. He doesn't see any way around them winning the next five Stanley Cups.
He is saying that because he likes sports fans to get mad at me for allegedly saying something that I did not say, nor would I ever say, because I do not want
brave.
To jinx the team.
I think you're brave
there's no
to say
such,
it because
I do not
you know
want to jinx
there's no such
anything.
Thing as a jinx, though. But you know that you can say that without having to worry about it coming back and biting you in the ass because you can't affect the outcome of the game.
Both are true. I understand that fact, and I don't want to risk it.
Well, we are going to be talking to you about how you have jinxed games or jinxed teams and what you think about it and how the jinxes work, because I'm with Kevin. I don't think there's any way they can blow this at this point.
I didn't say that. Stop saying that, Bean, to get me in trouble. No, but you know, the Afro call that we just had, hey, don't talk to the Kings. You guys jinxed it. I mean, it's just it's absurd. And yet, I was at a game the other night, listener, not last night, and a dude stood up and said, we won, we swept, and there were still 5 minutes left, and I was like, sit down, what's wrong with you? You're going to jinx it.
Well, we are a very superstitious bunch, us sports fans. That's coming up, plus Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, Sacha Baron Cohen on the program later on today, and Mr. Movie Phone will be here. It was one of the most, kind of a weeny ending to a dramatic story last year when Whitey Bulger was finally apprehended after 16 years on the run and 12 years on the FBI 10 Most Wanted list. They finally found him just last summer in Santa Monica, California. Now there is a book about the entire escapade of all the years that Massachusetts State Police and DEA and FBI all were looking for Whitey Bulger, who was a notorious crime boss. The book is called Most Wanted, Pursuing Whitey Bulger, the Murderous Mob Chief the FBI Secretly Protected, and the author of that book, Thomas Foley, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Foley, thanks so much for coming on, sir. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Very good, thank you.
So you were a Massachusetts police officer, long career there, and spent much of your time searching for Mr. Bulger, right?
Right, I ended up retiring as a colonel of the state police in Massachusetts, but I did spend the majority of my career, almost 20 years on this case alone, investigating Bulger and his activities.
That's got to be crazy. And you never, you say in your book, you never saw him personally.
No, I didn't at the time, and there was partly a reason for that. It was just a different way of us going out investigating him, because whenever we had, he was very surveillance conscious, and if you were following him, he'd be on top of you in a second. So we went at him a little bit differently. We stayed away from him. We tried to wiretap and bug locations that he was at more than just trying to follow his activities every day.
This is a guy who was number two on the FBI's most wanted list, right behind Bin Laden, and then was number one with a $2 million price on his head. And you, in the book, claim that the FBI not only didn't help, but stood in the way of you finding him.
Right. I mean, this has been, it's a fact. He's been admitted to being an FBI, him and his partner, Stephen the Rifleman Fleming, have admitted to being FBI informants since the 70s at least. And, for years, when we were trying to bring him in to justice, our investigations were being compromised by the FBI. Actually, they were providing information to Bulger about what we were doing so that...
Really?
We would be unsuccessful.
So they would tell this guy, this gangster who was, guilty of murdering
dozens
people
of murders,
and extortion and drug dealing, and he was a terrible, terrible dude. They would tell him how you're coming after him so he could stay away?
Yeah, it was a series of investigations, whether it was the Boston Police, the Mass State Police, DEA, some other local departments. Everybody made a run at this guy. He was a top mobster in Boston in the 80s, and he was a very violent individual. And a lot of the murders that he's been indicted with 19 murders, and a lot of those murders that he did personally, and he enjoyed doing it. He's a very violent individual. So.
Now, wouldn't the FBI come to people and say, hey, just heads up, since you've been working on this for 20 years, he's an informant, and we're not going to let you find him. Why would they not do that?
Well, because that's the problem, and, you know, that was something that we were all trying to work through for a long time. His status as an informant overcame their, you know, at the time, their ability or realization that, you know, they're supposed to be involved in public safety here. You know, basically what they had is the top guy as their informant, and occasionally he'd hand off one of the lower-level guys to keep them happy, but the information that he was providing them was really insignificant. And, you know, as a result of years of us trying to penetrate those layers of protection, you know, we eventually were able to get some indictments on him. And then there was one FBI agent, actually, that was charged in this case. And, you know, he's actually serving 40 years to life.
No kidding. Wow. For protecting him.
This is the voice of author Thomas Foley here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his book that just got released this month called Most Wanted, Pursuing Whitey Bulger, the Murderous Mob Chief the FBI Secretly Protected. Mr. Foley, were you surprised where he ended up being found, living just near the beach in Santa Monica, California, rather than in, you know, some village in Portugal or something where he might be harder to find?
Yes and no. I mean, he used to have a place down in Clearwater, Florida, and with similar climate as out there in Santa Monica, so... you know, it's not unusual for him to be going to a nice community or a beach and, you know, being in that type of area. But on the other hand, you know, we were surprised that over the years there wasn't more, somebody else didn't see him. It's 16 years is a long time to be out there.
So
he
you
been
thought
on numerous shows, and we figured he would have made a mistake before then.
You thought he was in Cuba at one point, you say in your book, and how could he live for 16 years in Santa Monica and no one give a tip?
Especially when he was on America's Most Wanted, it seemed like about every 3 months they'd put his picture up there. You'd think somebody would have seen him somewhere, at the farmer's market, at the DMV, somewhere, right?
Right, and that's the amazing part of this, from my perspective, is that somebody didn't pick him up sooner than that. He did have national exposure numerous times, but then again, he, you know, he started getting older, and he was blending into the elderly community a little bit. We were, you know, concerned about that, but... You know, we lost control, I'm saying the state police and the DEA, of the fugitive investigation itself after we indicted him. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston decided that he wanted the FBI to run that fugitive investigation, which I felt was a conflict, but that didn't matter. And so they actually ran the fugitive investigation for those 16 years. I think that had something to do with why he was out there so long.
What's the status of Whitey Bulger now? Is he preparing to go to trial?
Yes, and you know the victims' families feel very strongly about this. They want their day in court.
I'm sure
they want to show exactly how treacherous this guy was, and they want to show the relationship that, you know, the FBI hadn't protected him all these years.
Was the FBI able to put this whole thing on that one agent that's in prison for 40 years to life, or were other people at least found out?
Well, that's a good question. That's the sad part of it, is that I think it did fall on that one agent pretty much, and you know, he deserved what he got, don't get me wrong, but on the other hand, there was a lot of things that happened over the years. He had numerous supervisors and other agents that were fully aware of what was going in, and the Bureau right down into Washington condoned that relationship for a long, long time. So I think there could have been others that were as accountable.
Last question for you, Mr. Foley, and that is, do you have a preference whether Mark Wahlberg makes the Whitey Bulger movie or Ben Affleck and Matt Damon make the movie? Because I understand there are competing projects right now trying to get this thing to the big screen. You're a Boston guy. Which Boston guy are you backing?
No comment.
All right. The book is fascinating, and what an amazing story, and nobody was more in the middle of it than Thomas Foley, the co-author of this book called Most Wanted, Pursuing Whitey Bulger, the Murderous Mob Chief the FBI Secretly Protected. It is available in stores and online everywhere. Thank you for the time, Mr. Foley. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Sacha Baron Cohen is the star of The Dictator. He joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat now on a Tuesday.
I love Sacha Baron Cohen.
I do, too.
He's a funny mother
effer.
Watch your mouth. Just talking about Borat.
Hey, you know what else is funny?
Who?
Jay Mohr.
Yeah, he is.
Jay Mohr will be joining me as co-host of Hollywood Babylon this weekend at the John Lovitz Theater.
Yeah. Fantastic.
doing my show, Hollywood Babylon, up there at the Lovitz on Universal City Walk. 10 p.m. on Saturday night is when we do it. Usually my partner is Kevin Smith, and we talk about showbiz news together. However, Kevin will be out of town this week, and he's going to Bamboozle.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he's going to that New Jersey Music Festival, so he'll be in Jersey this weekend. So I needed a sub, and my buddy Jay Moore was kind enough to volunteer to step in with me, so he and I will be talking about showbiz news, and we'll be dueling impressions, I'm sure, for most of the evening.
Sure.
So you can come and check us out at the John Lovitz Theater Saturday night at 10 p.m. You can go to thelovitz.com or babylonralph.com for details and to buy tickets, but come out and see it, because Jay's funny.
Jay's very funny.
Jay is funny. So there's a reason to actually come see the show and see somebody funny, which will be Jay. Ah, this is a great story. Sarah Hyland. I had no idea. She, of course, is the daughter on Modern Family.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Adorable, adorable little girl. She plays the eldest of the kids on that show. She is 21 years old in real life and, unbeknownst to everyone, has been going through a brutal ordeal for the past 10 years of her life, at least. She had a kidney disease.
Oh, wow.
That made her exhausted and in pain a lot of the time. And she finally received a kidney transplant, thanks to her father, on April the 13th.
Wow.
So she is recovering and apparently doing a lot better. And she said she's already feeling better. But she's had this since she was about 9 years old, this condition.
Wow.
And sadly, because of her age, they had to kind of let it run its course and get bad before it got better. So when she was 21, she was finally able to get the transplant, but she's doing a lot better now. But she's been a child actress since she was 5 years old, and she said on the set a lot she would just go to work sick. She would just have to work sick and try to find situations where her character could sit or lie down or lean or whatever, because she's she feels exhausted and in pain a lot of the time.
That's amazing.
So you never know. Never know she was going through that. But I'm glad she's doing well. Pauly D from the Jersey Shore. He's making more money.
Nope.
He's got a new vodka cocktail mix called Remix that's being launched. The people who do that skinny girl margarita thing that the girl from Beverly, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Yes. Said,
or New York, whatever. They're taking it on, and apparently it's already a big hit, and he's going to make a ton of money.
Excellent!
So
it's good, because you like to see the kids from
glad
Jersey
to see the
Shore.
Jersey Shore people doing well.
Make some dough.
Battleship is coming out soon. Peter Berg is the director. He was in Israel recently promoting the film, and it turns out Peter Berg is nuts.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. He was talking to an Israeli interviewer and just went off on the potential conflict between Iran and Israel. And
wait, he was there to talk about Battleship?
Right.
Okay.
And he said, look, what's going to happen with Israel? Because here's the thing. Iran, if they get the bomb, it's all over. Now, look, you're in Israel, right? So you have to take a stand against Iran. And starts talking politics with this 25-year-old kid who is the entertainment reporter.
Wow.
Trying to get a story about Rihanna.
Wow.
And he goes on and on and on. I brought in some of the audio from the video clip because it's crazy. And it goes on for a couple of minutes. I only brought you about 30 seconds here. But he gets into this guy's service record, whether he's served in the Israeli military or not, because all kids are supposed to do some time in there.
Right.
Anyway, here's the clip.
You know, if you attack Iran now, they're going to fight you back, right? There's going to be blood. Israelis will die, right?
Yes.
Would you rather take that now or let them get a nuclear bomb? It's the most serious issue facing our planet today.
Well,
more so than the movie Battleship, which I'm very excited to have directed. Have you been in the Israeli Army?
No.
What? How'd you get out of that? Are you a draft dodger?
How old are you? 25.
You got to join the Army, motherfucker.
What's happening?
Oh, my
gosh. Going off.
What the
this
hell?
This poor guy looks like a deer in the headlights. He is just shell-shocked by the end of this interview. This is not what he expected when he
wow,
got to
that's
work
bizarre.
That morning. Yeah, it is very strange. But you can check it out on YouTube. It's fascinating.
I like that he was able to work in his plug, though, just as well.
And
that,
well, he's got the giant poster behind him. It's like one of those junkets.
Movie, yeah.
It's so weird to see him watch talking about the geopolitical situations while he's sitting in front of a movie about giant robot aliens who blow up ships.
I'm not sure that entertainment reporter is the guy that's going to make the decision either.
Yeah, fascinating. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Chaz Palminteri is 60 years old today. Sports TV and radio host Dan Patrick turns 56. Russell Hornsby from the TV series Grimm is 38 years old. David Krumholtz, who was on Numbers for many seasons, is 34. Jamie Lynn Sigler, who played Meta Soprano of The Sopranos, 31 years old. Guitarist Brad Schultz of Cage the Elephant is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Sacha Baron Cohen later this hour talking the dictator. Also, today is Tuesday. That means Beer Mug has his weigh-in. I don't know. He lost 6 pounds last week?
Yeah.
6 pounds? I mean, at that pace, there's a possibility.
Nope.
Maybe.
Nope.
We'll find out. And Mr. Movie Phone himself coming to the K-Rock Studios today to talk about all the summer movies. We're well into it now with the Avengers out and Hunger Games out, Battleship this weekend. So we'll talk to him about all the good stuff that he's seen. That's all coming up here on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
I would like to suggest that sports jinxes are stupid and that they should never be believed.
And
logically, it doesn't make any sense that if you say out loud, hey, we already won this game, everybody else goes, don't jinx it! Which is really stupid because the person saying it has no effect whatsoever.
Why are people so invested in staying away from jinxes then? If it's stupid, why do so many people believe it?
Okay, so I was at a Kings game last week, and it was the Blues, and we were going to sweep them if we won. It was game four. And somebody stood up a couple of rows ahead of me and said, the Blues are done. The Kings are moving on. There was still like 6 minutes to go in the game. And everything in me shouted, sit down, you a-hole. Don't ruin it. But that's dumb. Right?
But you'll never stop that voice.
It's stupid. But I can't stop the voice in me saying, sit down and shut up.
No.
Why? There's no way that guy has an effect on the game.
Now, the only thing I will say is, at least is he at the game?
Yes.
The guy was at the game? Okay. At least he's at the game, and you could argue that maybe he could get inside a player's head because somebody could hear him. At least he has the ear of people who do affect the outcome of the game. But what about
Probably not.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think it's a 0.00001% that anybody even hears him on the team. But at least you could argue that you're putting it out there in the room where the people are playing. But you hear the same thing. And by the way, we're taking your calls on this topic. If you have thoughts on sports jinxes where you've seen them happen or not happen, or you believe in them or don't, and here's why, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. But you would have had the same thought, Kevin, in your head and said the same thing to somebody who had done it if you'd been watching it in the sports bar 2,000 miles away. You still just don't say, well, it's in the bag now, right?
No way we could lose. Which is, again, stupid that anything you say you think will affect the game either way. But Bean yesterday tweeted to make me look like I was saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Bean tweeted, I agree with Kevin. And I hadn't said anything about this. I agree with Kevin. The Kings are going to win not only this year's Stanley Cup, but the next 4 years. And I was thinking to myself, oh, I don't want people out there to think I'm jinxing it. I never said that. But it's so dumb to believe in it.
Right. The people who would believe that somehow you have the power to jinx whether the Kings win or lose, you acknowledge are retarded, right?
Yes.
As Lisa would say.
As am I.
No, I'd never say that.
I agree with Lisa when she says that.
Then what is it? Then why is it that is so widely believed
that you can
jinx a team?
Here's my thing. I don't know how it would work. Like, if you were to just really break it down and say, you tell me how a guy who says, and even at home, they can't lose now. You tell me how that's going to affect the game. It isn't.
Right.
Logically,
no.
It's not at all. But what's the downside of not testing that fate? That's my point. Like, what? Like, it's not any harder to not say it.
Just keep it
to yourself.
But
you hope that happens.
What percentage do you think of possibility is there that some guy watching TV who says it out loud? Okay. If it's none, then what's the downside question doesn't make any sense because it doesn't affect it at all. It doesn't matter what you say or don't say.
It doesn't matter at all.
But why not?
but what if I'm wrong? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's almost like you care so much, whether you're a Laker fan or this year you're a Clipper fan and they're in the second round, you know maybe they're going to go on. This is really important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So why test? Why, you know, even flirt with fate, with jinxes?
Mark, you hang on. We're going to get to your call in one second.
But they're stupid.
At 1-800-520-1067. All right, let me ask you this question. I don't have his name, but a couple of weekends ago, Jared Weaver, former Mariner, now playing for the Angels, pitched a no-hitter. The announcers in the game who are at the stadium but can't be heard by the players, the announcers in the game decided they weren't going to mention that he was pitching a no-hitter. They didn't want to jinx it by saying in the sixth inning or the seventh inning or the eighth inning or,
really?
God forbid, in the ninth inning, he's three outs away from a no. They never mentioned it was a no-hitter in progress until after the game because they thought they would somehow jinx it. That, to me, I don't feel like you're doing your listeners or television viewers a service by not keeping them posted on that or not making them aware of
that. Here's what I think about that. I think I think so many sports fans do believe it, that the announcers don't want to incur the wrath of,
yes,
all these ridiculous, stupid sports fans,
yes,
who believe it.
They would hate them if, for whatever reason, it didn't happen.
Whether it's true or not, they don't want the hate from the sports fans.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Because I totally get when a pitcher is throwing a no-hitter or a perfect game, I totally get that the rule is none of the players say anything to them. You don't go sit up to them at the bench and go, hey, you got a no-hitter going.
Hey, things are going well. Good luck with that.
Because now you're getting in the guy's head, and now you're screwing with them. I totally understand not talking to the participants, to the athletes. But if you're the guy doing the play-by-play on the radio, it seems like there's no jinx. You're not going to jinx it by pointing out that he hasn't,
right,
nobody's hit off of him,
but
right?
Will they be blamed if something goes wrong?
Well, that's an excellent point, I guess.
And the answer to that is yes, they will be.
All right, let's talk to Mark real quick. We got some good calls on hold already.
You can weigh in too. Let's start with Tad because he's talking about the game that we were just starting.
Let's start with Tad then.
All right, hi Tad. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys?
So you're talking about this Jared Weaver no hitter as well?
Yeah, I was sitting in my rocking chair watching the game in the sixth inning, and I started to realize what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to pee so bad,
right?
But I knew if I got up and went pee, he'd blow it. So
okay, now you know that's dumb. Right?
Well,
you know that if you got up and went and peed, it would have zero effect on. He's an Angels pitcher, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
it would have zero effect on the Angels.
Well, that's debatable, because, I mean...
No, but it's not debatable.
He doesn't, okay, believe you.
But it's not debatable. You know, at least mentally you know, maybe not in your heart, but at least mentally you know that you peeing,
oh, yeah,
has nothing to do with him throwing a no-hitter.
No. My logical side, yeah, I get it.
Okay.
But as an Angels fan, I know you don't get up and go pee.
All right, so let me ask you this then, Tad. Do you give yourself some of the credit for the fact that he threw a no-hitter because you held your pee?
Yeah, I actually went out and signed some baseballs for people.
Didn't pee and caused the no-hitter.
I played a huge role in that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations then. I wasn't aware of that.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks.
That's
at least
awesome.
He understands it.
All right, let's talk to Mark, who believes he went the opposite way. He's on line one. He jinxed a team. 1-800-520-1067. We're taking your calls on the Kevin and Bean Show about sports jinxes. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank
Good.
You.
What happened, dude? What'd you do?
Well, I was at the New Jersey Ducks playoffs,
mm-hmm,
back at the pond. This was several years ago. And now I don't know if saying anything at home has anything to do with it. Maybe not. But at the game, it was 3-1. The Ducks were leading. Looked like they were going to take it. I stood up and said, hey, that's the end of the game. This is in the bag. And lo and behold, they came around. The Jersey Devils came around, scored 3 goals. Next thing I knew, it was 4-3.
Right.
And I was the one holding the bag.
Okay,
and
now,
according to all my friends, I'm the one who jinxed the game.
Okay, now, Mark, you understand that mentally, at least your mind understands, you had no effect on that game. That was going to go that way no matter what.
Absolutely.
But why are you an a-hole? Why would you stand up and say it? You don't say it. That's the thing. I don't believe in it. But why test fate?
Well, you know, the 4 other people I was with really brought me down and let me know, as much as I don't believe in sports jinxes and things like that, they honestly feel that I was the reason why. And at this point now, I've never been invited to go back with them anymore.
They
watch games with them.
They honestly feel, had you not stood up and said that, that it would have stayed 3-1 Ducks.
To this day, they hold
me to
that.
Wow.
That's fantastic. I love that.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
That.
That's what I say, ridiculous.
Would it have killed him to not say
would
anything?
Would it have killed you to not stand up and say that out loud?
Exactly. All right, Mark,
that's
thank you very much
point.
For the call.
Yes,
we appreciate
that's our
it.
Point.
1-800-520-1067. Take your calls on sports jinxes right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Talking about sports jinxes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin says there's no chance the Kings don't win the Stanley Cup
I've
this year.
I've never said that, nor would I.
That's already out there. Beer Mug says the Dodgers are, they've got it in the bag to win the World Series.
Yep.
Nothing
mm-hmm.
can go wrong
didn't
for this
say
season.
That either.
And Dave said, look out, you're about to meet your Los Angeles Clippers, the new NBA champ. So all of those championships apparently have already been decided. But there are some people who say you shouldn't say stuff like that out loud because then you're just begging the team to lose because somehow what you say has an effect on the play.
But let's really be honest about that. That's stupid. Right?
Yes,
yeah, but you're
is.
The one that seems to believe it more than any of us.
It's not... It's stupid, though. I mean, I hate myself for it. But I've never said out loud. I've thought many times, about the cup this year. Never said it out loud.
But
I'm doing my part.
Say,
I didn't.
I heard
I
you
didn't.
Say.
Don't you lie.
Let's talk to Rick. He's on line three. Let's find out if this curse works in Little League or is it only in professional sports. Oh. Rick, what's the deal? You're a Little League coach?
Yes, sir.
Hey, and what's your policy on saying things out loud in terms of whether you jinx the team or not?
Can never do it again. I did it a couple years ago. I was coaching a team. We were up by 11 runs going to the last inning. Our best pitcher on the mound. Guy got real cocky. I thought, oh, yeah, this game is in the bag. Told the kids in the dugout, hey, start packing up the bats. Put away the helmets, everything. Put your shoes on. We're getting ready to go. This game is over. Lo and behold, the other team scores 14 runs on us, and we lose the game by 3 runs.
You were ahead by 11 going into the last round, Rick. But still, you understand someplace within you that would have happened anyway?
No.
Okay. No. All right. Good. All right. It was all you.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you,
Rick. Let's try Katie. Katie is on line four, joining us here on the Kevin B. Show. Now, it sounds like there's some jinx problems in your family, Katie. What's going on?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Sorry. Yeah, no, my dad, when I was in my early teens, he was a Chicago Bulls fan.
Right.
He wouldn't let me in the house.
He wouldn't let you in the house?
Why?
No, because every time they were on from the age of 12 to 16, they would lose when I was home.
Really?
No.
So your dad started to get the idea that your mere presence in the house was ruining it for the Bulls.
I was the Bulls jinx, according to my dad.
Are you sure your dad just didn't like you?
Yeah, you know, I tried to kind of wonder after a while, but I wasn't really sure.
Did you ever ask him how, because we've been curious about this, how does the jinx work? Like, how do the Bulls, not playing in your living room, know whether you're watching or not?
You know, my dad just says the mirror, you know, it's a luck thing.
Right, and but it's absurd.
It is completely absurd,
yeah.
But it's a thing, I guess. Yeah. I don't get it either. So from the age of 12 to 16, I always had to be somewhere
Let's
else.
Let's see.
Age
of, let me think about this, though, Katie. Age of 12 to 16, girl, teenager.
Yeah, your dad just wanted you out of the house. He just wanted to watch the game and drink a beer.
He's
Thanks
like,
for the call.
Katie, the Bulls are playing for the third time today. Stay out.
Thank you for the call, Katie. We appreciate it. Let's try Danny. How about Danny? He's on line 7 here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He believes that he is responsible for a jinx. Thanks for calling, dude.
Danny?
Yeah, hi guys.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you, the jinx?
I'm in an adult hockey league, and I've been on this team for a little while. And we were, you know, it was a big game. We were in the third period, and we were up by 4 goals or something. And our goalie was playing really good. So I skated up to him, and I said, man, you're playing a great game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, it's just every shot they took went in, and they won.
Yeah, that was you.
That was you.
No,
again,
I don't even believe in jinx.
It's
but.
Possible that it's because you weren't playing defense because you were high.
Sounds like that's likely at this point.
Maybe that wasn't the goalie's fault as much as his defense, Danny.
I'm pretty good defense.
I'm just
suggesting. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Enough.
Get ahead
All
of
right.
yourself.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
Thanks for the call. We got to take a break. We're going to talk all things Dictator with the brilliant filmmaker, writer, director, actor, comedian, Sacha Baron Cohen, next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K Rock. I'm just saying, if the movie's opening up on a Wednesday, let's just make it a holiday. This is give everybody the day off and let them go see the Dictator.
Everybody gets a day off tomorrow.
I agree.
It's
always an event at the theater when Sacha Baron Cohen is back with one of his new character movies like Borat or Bruno. The new one, of course, is called The Dictator. You've been hearing about it. Admiral General Aladdin is what's going on this time. And Sacha Baron Cohen joins us back on The Kevin Bean Show after quite a while. Hey, Sasha, how are you?
Hello. It's nice to be back.
Great to have you. Is it tough to put the Dictator character in the closet? I know you've been working on the movie for a long time and then doing a lot of the promotion in character. Is it tough to say goodbye to that one?
Yeah, listen, it's tough to say goodbye to Ali G or Borat or Bruno. You know, you kind of become a little bit like them, you know.
You've done so many interviews.
Yeah. So, you know, he'll be back at some point.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I wanted to play you a clip. This is you with Larry King, and we thought this was so funny. And I got to imagine that if everybody had a sense of humor, you wouldn't have a movie or a gig or any of these roles, because it seems like, not that you made Larry King angry, but a lot of people seem to get angry at your comedy, which I find extremely funny. Here's you with Larry King.
Exactly.
Insulting the fact that he's Jewish.
I'm Jewish.
You are Jewish.
Yes.
You are Jewish.
Yes.
Fine, no problem.
Because I am Jewish, you would take offense, you would spit.
No, nothing to do with that. I just spit on the floor.
I see, so nothing to do
with
that.
I don't like the floor.
You just go in there ready to improv in character. You just put yourself in the mindset of whatever they throw at me, I'm going to figure out a way to be the dictator, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we wanted to keep a real feel, so we said to him, you know, ask whatever you want. You know, treat it like a real dictator. So he's interviewed so many dictators.
Sure.
He's kind of the perfect guy.
Now, how many interviews have you done where they didn't quite get it, or they didn't think you were funny, or you were super offensive to them even?
Oh, you know what? I did an interview in Australia in the morning show. You guys should check it out. I think it's called the Today Show in Australia.
Okay.
And literally, they sat there in silence. You know, I was coming out with the most offensive jokes about, like, Jews and, you know, terribly. I was basically, you know, accusing them of having. I said, you know, before we go live, I want to, you know, just so we know. I know that you are having an affair with him, and if you ask me a difficult question, I will reveal it when we go live. And obviously, it's a live show. And they totally froze, and kind of the show, even though they did not laugh for 10 minutes, the show kind of went viral in Australia and became like the most talked about show. So,
so they didn't
even
like
if
it
they're
at
not
all.
Liking it at the time, people then do like it.
That's so awesome. Was the best thing that happened to promote The Dictator a couple of months ago when the Academy Awards came out and said, nope, not going to allow you on the red carpet in character, can't do it. And then, of course, they finally acquiesced and you got a chance to dump on Seacrest. But you must have been so happy when they tried to ban you from the Oscars.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was kind of ludicrous because I was in this movie, Hugo, which got,
right.
I don't know, like 10 or 11 Academy nominations. And then, you know, actually banning me from turning up was kind of pretty funny. You know, the head of the Academy had called up my agent. He said, you know, if he turns up within half a mile of the Academy Awards, I have 250 FBI agents. They will arrest him. So my agent calls me up and he said, you better not turn up. And I go, the FBI aren't going to arrest me. I mean, what are they going to arrest me for?
Right, right.
So I go, well, there's no crime to, like, turning up to a movie that you're nominated for, you know, that's pretty legal.
Right.
And so when I actually turned up, the police saw the limo and they suddenly, like, you know, stopped the rest of the traffic. This cop came up to me and he had a clipboard, and on the clipboard was a picture of me as the dictator. And he said, listen, sir, I'm going to have to check the car. And inside the car, I had, like, the urn with Kim Jong-il's ashes.
Right.
And so I couldn't let him come in. So I said, why do you want to come in? And he said, well, we believe that you have live arms inside.
Live what?
You know.
Arms.
Live arms, as in, you know, guns and ammunition.
Oh my God. I see.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that from. So anyway, so I let him inside, and we had these kind of three virgin guards inside who, you know, the dictator, the character that I'm playing, he's protected at all times by 25 virgin guards. I check their virginity every night with the head of my penis. He's got these guards, and basically I said, all right, you want to check the car, fine. You know, strip search me and strip search the girls. And the cop suddenly got really embarrassed and gave up.
Well done.
Searching the car. And so we managed to get it in there, you know.
Well played.
That was hilarious.
And then, as my partner Bean says, you dumped on Ryan Seacrest, which I don't think he meant exactly that way. But you did dump the ashes.
Not exactly. That would have been
That would have been better.
Yeah, I'm sure that's happened at other times, but not
and he was not happy, which, again, as a comedian, must have been the best possible reaction you could have ever hoped for.
You know, I was kind of surprised because he's meant to be so unflappable, and then
I just saw him, like, really, you know, incredibly shocked.
Well, yeah.
At the end of the day, it was just like a bit of flour on his jacket.
So right, right. But you have to understand, he's a guy who takes himself pretty seriously, and getting ashes dumped on you must have at least, I would have at least paused for a second and said, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, you know, I actually afterwards, I sent him a new jacket.
Sweet. Very nice.
And it had a little label inside, you know, made by child labor in the country of Wadir. You know?
This is the voice of actor Sacha Baron Cohen here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his film called The Dictator that opens up everywhere on Wednesday. Kevin, I believe we have a clip.
We do. This is you, and I'm not positive. I'm sorry, but I think you're talking to Anna Faris. And,
yes, that's right.
And you're describing to her how funny it is that she wants to go to school.
You seem educated.
Yes, I went to Amherst.
I love it when women go to school. It's like seeing a monkey on roller skates. It means nothing to them, but it's so adorable for us.
Oh, my God.
Will this film play in the Middle East, Sasha?
It's been banned in most Middle Eastern countries.
Nicely done.
Yeah, and it just got banned from China today.
Congratulations.
I mean, the interesting thing... Yeah, at the moment, the only dictatorship showing it is Venezuela. So,
as a filmmaker, though, who's making a movie for a major studio, when they say China, the largest market in the world, is not going to be able to see your movie, that's not really good news, though, is it?
Yeah, well, it's bad news for them. I mean, personally, I don't really care.
You don't really care, exactly. China steals movies anyways. They don't need to pay for it. But
yeah, you'll be huge in the BitTorrent world.
They download it, right.
Well, as we said when we brought you on, and we know we're in our remaining seconds here, anytime you're in a movie, whether you're acting like in Hugo and you were terrific in that, or one of your characters like the Bruno or the Borat or the Ali G, we're so excited to have you back. Because you're one of those guys who disappears. We don't hear from you for a couple of years, and then it's just so, we're so happy to have you back. But we can't wait to see The Dictator tomorrow. Thank you so much for coming on K-Rock today.
Thank
we always
you
love
very
talking
much
to you.
For having me on again.
Thank you, Sasha.
You bet.
Talk to you soon.
It's Hit and Sleep's 72-hour sale with the lowest prices of the year. Save up to 50% off all the best brands and get free financing with your good credit. Sit and Sleep will beat anyone's advertised price or your mattress is free. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Great delivery.
Thank
no
you.
Shame. No shame whatsoever. God bless
sell
her.
It.
God bless her.
Mr. Movie Phone joins us in studio.
Yes.
Coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
If you'd like to hear me, press one now.
Also, we got some Metallica.
If you don't want to listen to me, press two now.
Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
If you'd like to hear what Ryan Seacrest is talking about, press three now. I have great, great news.
All right.
If you are a huge Michael Jackson fan like I am.
You're not a huge Michael Jackson fan.
I am, first of all.
You're not.
And second, first of all,
you're
yes.
Not.
And first of all, yes.
You've never said one thing.
Huge okay. Michael Jackson
You've
fan.
Never said that.
I have that entire room filled with Michael Jackson
nope,
memorabilia in my home.
That's Batman memorabilia.
Oh, that's right. I always get those two confused.
Yeah.
Well, they were both orphans who fight crime. So, they got that going.
Did Mike fight crime? Of Michael Jackson's parents are still alive.
What? I have bad information. But this is true. They are going to auction off some of his most famous stage outfits. No, it is true. First, the clothing's going on tour.
On tour?
Yeah. And then at the end of the tour, they will have an auction, and you'll be able to buy it.
Would you go someplace to see his clothing?
I would not, sir. But apparently there are people who will. They're going to send the costumes on tour all over the world, and then the auction will start on December the 2nd, at the end of the year. Items include his Captain EO shirt, the shirt he wore in Captain EO, the legendary film that he did for Disneyland.
That's got to be in prime condition, that shirt.
Well, how many times could he have worn it? Just the once. The black spandex outfit he wore in the Scream video. And a box of boys' underwear they found in the back of his closet.
Are you sure about that last one?
I'm pretty sure.
That doesn't seem right.
It's official. Britney Spears and Demi Lovato are going to be the judges seated at the table for the new season of The X Factor with L.A. Reid and series creator Simon Cowell. Simon said this week he's absolutely delighted that the two ladies are joining him in his jacuzzi.
I don't think he said that.
Yeah, he's going to nail them both. My guess.
He probably could.
Yeah. Britney is getting $15 million for the season. Demi Lovato, no word exactly what she's getting, but they're saying low seven figures.
So a million.
Million
practically
bucks,
minimum wage.
Practically. for hard work, by the way.
That's, to me, that's, I want to watch the first episode to see what she has to say, but I'm guessing it's not going to be a long-term deal, you know? Like, I'm not going to be interested just because she's on it.
As my friend Kevin Smith said in Babylon last week, he's glad Demi Lovato made the cut.
See, because she was famous for cutting.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Who?
I'm sorry. Porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are in talks for their own reality show.
Really? What a surprise.
Kimye.
No.
On your TV screen.
No.
They might as well get married.
Acting their asses off like they really care about each other. Star Magazine's reporting that they are in conversations now to do a reality show. Kanye interested to do it because he wants to improve his image and make himself softer and more likable.
Which won't happen.
Kanye, Kim rather, just because it would be a big, big cash payout.
She's
for
a whore.
So she's a whore. So she's got that going for her.
I know that I'm about to say that. Something that's incredibly obvious, but I saw them at the on TV on the Laker game the other day.
Yeah. In the kiss cam? Were they in the kiss cam?
They didn't. I don't think they were on the kiss cam, no, but they showed him in the crowd a couple of times. She is unbelievably hot.
She's very attractive.
Every once in a while, it needs to be just be mentioned that as much as we bag on her and hate her, she's so unbelievably hot.
She is pretty hot.
Did you think we didn't notice that we lost track of that or something?
But I guess I hadn't. You know, look, I rarely see her moving. I rarely see images of her where she's moving. I just see pictures and you go, oh, she's pretty. But to see her at that Laker game and see her like as a real life person, I thought, wow, she's even hotter than I realized.
Okay.
You're an odd duck.
Everybody,
I'm just saying.
Everybody make a note. Bean says that Kim Kardashian is hot.
Let's make sure put the brakes on the show, Miss Bean, so that Bean could do 4 minutes on the fact that Kim Kardashian is hot. That was the breaking news that you stopped this for?
Yeah, you can't really use the F word, Ralph.
You can't say that.
I just wanted to watch the guys in the other room jump. That's all.
Kevin, she's just really attractive, is my point.
Kevin thinks things are getting boring because we haven't used the dump button.
How dare you?
I just wanted to bring him a little joy. The beer mug almost.
He had a heart attack.
It was a Tom and Jerry moment. I thought I was going to see him hanging from the ceiling with his claws up there like a cat. Very strange.
That was sweet. It was worth it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chaz Palminteri, he is 60 years old today. Sports and TV and radio host Dan Patrick is 56. He's a good broadcaster, that Dan Patrick.
Very much so.
Very smooth, very articulate, very knowledgeable. He's a good sportscaster.
He's everything this show isn't.
He's the opposite of us in every way.
Russell Hornsby from Grimm is 38 years old. Dave Krumholtz from Numbers is 34. People, by the way, demanding the beer mug interview with David Krumholtz on the red carpet. Remember that? Where he brought up some movie he did in 1985 or something. Oh. Krumholtz was like, you know, I've worked since then. It was like 15 years ago. Well, we may have to dig that
up. See if we can find that. I don't have one. That's awesome.
Jamie Lynn Ziegler from The Sopranos played Meadow on that show for many seasons. She's 31. And Brad Schultz of Cage the Elephant is 30 years old. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Yes, we are going to hook you up with your Black Keys tickets next hour right here on K-Rock. We're talking about October 5th at Staples Center, October 8th at Honda Center. They are a great live band,
yeah,
by the way.
Look, there are a lot of bands who just try their best to sound like their CD. And if they're really lucky and really work hard, they can make it sound that good. The Black Keys are one of those bands that you see them live, you like the songs that you marginally like on the CD. You love them when they do them live.
Yeah, the recorded versions are just the jumping off point for a band as musically talented as these guys. So you're going to have a fantastic time at the concert. And we're also going to give you a, Black Key that could start the Black Keys minivan right off the album cover for El Camino. So that's a piece of rock history that you could win too. Go to krock.com for all the details. And we have a chance for you to win coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We bet Beer Mug a long time ago he couldn't lose 30 pounds by June 1st. That's 2 weeks from now. I bet him $100 and Dave, the King of Mexico, bet him $100. He's been trying to lose weight since. We've weighed him every week since. And he is now at 211 pounds. He needs to get down to 196 by the end of this month. 196.8.
So he's got about 2.5 weeks to lose how much weight? About 15 pounds. Well,
about 15 and a half pounds.
I guess it's possible. I mean, here's the thing about Muggs is that he kind of skated through the first couple of months of this challenge. He didn't really take it seriously. He gave himself a lot of cheat days, wasn't very consistent with the exercise. But recently, he seems to be committed to it as the deadline is looming.
But when he started, let's be honest, he was fat.
Beer Mug is so fat, damn, he's so fat. Beer Mug is so fat, that boy's got fat. Beer Mug is so fat, he likes smoking doobies. Beer Mug is so fat, he's got mad boobies. Will Beer Mug lose the weight? I think not. Beer Mug's so fat, 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 fat.
To add what Bean said earlier, I work better under pressure. So yeah. That's why I skated through and sure. I procrastinated.
But this is fascinating, and we'll do this real quick because Mr. Movie Phone is here and we want to get right to him. But this is what's neat. It's a little over a 3-month bet. In the first 2.5 months, Beer Mug has lost 15 pounds. He's lost half the weight.
Right.
Now he's going to try to lose the last 15 in the final 2.5 weeks.
So I'm going to get what I want, which is I want Beer Mug to lose weight and be in better shape. I want him to be healthy. But I want him to lose the bet. He can get down below that number anytime he wants, but I want him to lose the bet.
All right, Beer Mug, you were at 211 on the nose last Tuesday. 211 is where you were last week. Let's see what you're looking like this week.
Stepping on the scale.
211. Drum roll again, please, Bean.
It's ready to go. You ready?
Yep.
209.7.
Whoa. That's another 1.3 pounds.
You lost. Yeah.
Falling off of you.
You lost 1.3 pounds.
You know, after
you only have 15 to go.
After the rapid 6-pound loss, you know, my body needs to, you know,
it
take it easy.
On the Biggest Loser all the time. Yeah. You get a really big weight loss, and the next day
Oh, what a thrill this is. I thought this day would never happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we've loved him. We've adored him from afar for years.
I don't know that I've ever adored him.
Mr. Movie Phone, Russ Leatherman himself in the K-Rock Studios right now.
Oh, yay. So weird being in here and seeing you guys. I've been on the show for years. Years and years. This is the first time I've sat in the studio, and I'd have to say you're much more attractive on radio.
That's why we have this job.
It's weird to us hearing that voice come out of that face.
That face.
Wait
right.
a second. I don't know quite how to say that.
We picture a much better looking guy when we talk to you on the phone.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Do people come up to you because you became famous as, you know, for most people, they don't care about the behind the scenes stuff. They know you as the Mr. Movie Phone guy. Do people come up to you all the time and ask you to say, press one now and things like that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Movie Phone, most popular movie guide in the world, really, frankly, and the telephone. Believe it or not, millions of people a month still pick up the phone and press one and
they
press
do?
Two. They really do.
They don't go online anymore?
A lot of people go online. Our mobile app is awesome, and but people still want to talk to somebody. And, you know, if you think about the success of Siri and the ability to just talk back to somebody, and they use Movie Phone and they use our voice recognition stuff. What movie? Tell us what movie you want to see. You know, I want to see whatever, and we tell them what to do. So, telephone service still very popular, and what's old is new again, right? Like it's all back to the phone.
Well, I use the Movie Phone site as my portal on the internet to look for what theaters the film that I want to go see is in. So, you got me covered in any direction. How long have you been doing movie reviews, Russ? And how did you get started in movie reviews?
When AOL bought Movie Phone about 10 years ago.
For $1 billion. $10 billion.
Only half a billion, Kevin.
Okay.
It's only half $1 billion. You know, I had to figure out what I wanted to do, and I'd always loved movies, and I always thought, how can I be useful to AOL and to Movie Phone? And that's by talking to radio stations and TV stations, and I thought, what a better way to do that on a weekly basis. I have to watch these movies anyway. Start reviewing them. Start giving people, you know, sort of my take on movies, which I think is more of an everyman kind of take. I don't consider myself a critic. I consider myself a dude who watches a bunch of movies and tries to give people an opinion on them. And movies are subjective, right? People like different sorts of movies. So, you know, I may not be the biggest fan of a Miley Cyrus movie, but I have to watch it and say, hey, you know, 17-year-old girls, they're probably going to dig that. So it was a way to, frankly, stay relevant and have something to do.
How many movies do you see in a week as a professional movie reviewer?
Professional movie reviewer.
Take it easy.
I don't know. you know, I probably see 4 or 5 movies a week. I like the summertime, actually, because there are usually 1 or 2 big blockbusters that are opening every week, so I don't have to see a ton of movies. But I spend a lot of time in very dark theaters with a lot of nerdy internet writers.
But, you know, when you see so many movies over a period of time, and I think all critics experience this, your taste has to get more refined to some extent. So you're not the everyman today that you were 5 years ago, even.
I believe I'm still an everyman. I really do. You know what? Here's the thing. You get tired of watching crappy movies.
You get more and more annoyed with it, right?
You do. And, you know, if you have 10 movies, 7 of them are probably really crappy. 1 or 2 might be really good. So everybody's tired of everything at some point, right?
Has there ever been a time where you knew a movie was going to be so awful that you didn't even want to spend the time and you just faked that review?
I've never faked a review. I used to try to leave early, you know, because you can tell whether a movie's going to be good or bad in 15, 20 minutes, for sure, right? And I used to just sort of skip out and you know, give a review. But then the publicist started discovering that, and they started watching me watching the movie.
Uh-oh. So, make sure he sees the end.
Right, exactly. So, you know, how could I complain, right? Like, Movie Phone's been very successful, and I get to watch movies for a living.
And you sound like you're having a blast doing it, too. I mean, let's face it, it's not the worst job in the world. But it must be fun for you, Russ. And again, this is the voice of Russ Leatherman. He is Mr. Movie Phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And, of course, 6 Second Review. If you're really pressed for time, that's where you want to go. But it must be fun for you sometimes to see movies that have little or no advanced publicity. You don't know what to expect when you sit down in the seat, and sometimes that can just blow you away because you're so impressed by something you didn't know about, right?
I think that's so true. Every now and again, you get a little gem, which is absolutely awesome because, you know, for example,
The Avengers, right?
Yeah, little movie nobody knew about.
No advertising budget.
But Battleship. Battleship's a good example.
Okay,
I saw Battleship last night.
Okay.
A lot of advanced publicity for that movie. Everybody's talking about it.
Right.
I was just expecting a mega turd, right? Like, I was expecting the worst movie in the world. Come to find out, pretty good. You know?
Really?
Yeah, pretty good.
How about that?
The story's cheesy, the dialogue's kind of corny, but some great effects. I liked it more than I liked Transformers, and so I went in with very low expectations, was pleasantly surprised. So I've discovered that if you go in just expecting the worst movie in the world, it's probably going to look a little better to you when you watch it.
So you have a better time in general if you just expect crap.
But you do.
Okay.
And you spend 15, 20 minutes in the parking lot before you go in. Not advocating, just saying.
Sure.
You know?
The best review I've seen of the one that I can say on the radio that I've seen of Battleship, by the way, is somebody who did not enjoy the film as much as you did, Russ. And the review was this. Remember, it's Battleship, right? The review was, it's a miss. And I thought, that's actually pretty clever, right?
No, it's
because, Kevin, it's a game that you play where you hit and
I'm
miss.
Not familiar
you
with,
don't get it.
Are you really not familiar with the game? With the game Battleship?
I'm just kidding.
Because the movie has nothing to do with the board game, obviously. But again, Battleship, it's not a great movie. But if you're in seventh grade, on proactive, and you just, you know, the only thing better than Battleship to you is going to be porn, right? Like, it's Battleship and porn. Make an evening of it, and you've got the best night ever.
Put that on the poster. The only thing better than Battleship is porn. All right. Well, we are into the summer movie season. We're going to take a break. Mr. Movie Phone is here, but when we want to come back, we want to talk about some of the big blockbusters that are still coming, like Prometheus, for instance. A lot of people are looking forward to Rock of Ages, another one. And I know there are some that you've seen that we don't even know about yet, but we're going to talk more movies for the summer when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mr. Movie Phone in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. He is Russ Leatherman. You can hear his reviews at 6secondreviews.com or on Facebook.com at Mr. Movie Phone. Hey, Russ, I read something super interesting recently. You know, more and more of these big movies, The Avengers is a great example, are opening overseas now, which is rare. It didn't used to be that way. U.S. always got the movies first. And apparently our box office percentage now is so much smaller than the rest of the world that they're capitalizing on what holidays fall in other countries and when it's summer over there versus summer over here. And we're getting into a global economy now where basically movies are going to open up whenever they make the most money for the movie company with no concern for the United States anymore. Have you been seeing more of that as well?
Yeah, all I can say to that, Bean, is you're right. I think people would be surprised to learn that maybe 20-25% of box office comes from domestic, and worldwide box office is huge, and the studios have gotten into patterns over the last several years in opening day and date with movies to opening them earlier overseas and letting them play out, see how they do, and then opening them in the United States. So it's huge. Believe it or not, we are a small part of the movie going audience.
Which is so weird because we have considered ourselves the center of, you know, because of Hollywood, the center of the movie making industry for 150 years. And now all of a sudden that's not the case anymore. But some of these movies like The Avengers, they just play everywhere, right?
They do. They just play everywhere. And, you know, The Avengers is a phenomenon, right? Like people are saying now, can it beat Avatar as the biggest movie ever? I would say that's probably not going to happen only because Avatar had a completely different kind of trajectory. You know, it took it a month and then 2 months and played so strong over a year. Where you take a movie like The Avengers that came out so strong, busted really every box office record. You know, we got a bunch of movies coming up that could very well take out The Avengers. So the question is, which movie will? When will it do that? But, you know, we got a big summer.
Will Battleship do that? I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, I don't think so, but Battleship, it's a big movie,
yeah.
And you can't underestimate the teenage audience, the 17-year-old boys who want to go see that. 17-year-old boys, and you.
And me.
Kevin.
And you, Mr. Movie Phone, who also enjoyed it, by the way.
You know what? I did enjoy it, but again, let's remind everybody, it is about the expectations. I didn't expect much, and there it was. But, you know, there are a ton of movies coming out this summer that will certainly take out the Avengers, and we'll see. You know, it's now, huge and a phenomenon.
Let me ask you, before we move ahead to some of the big summer releases, I have to ask you just one more question looking backwards. Professionals make movies, right? How does something like John Carter get made and they spend so much money to make it and so much money to promote it when every single person who works at that studio must know it's terrible? How do mistakes like that on that level still continue to happen?
Yeah, no one will ever be able to answer that question, Beanie. You know, no one sets out to make a bad movie. They really don't. And where does it go wrong? You say to yourself, you know, at the script table, somebody must have looked at that title and thought, this is just never going to play. But it's the politics of Hollywood. It's the way the studios work. And the more money that's invested, the more corporate these decisions really become. And all of a sudden, you end up with a monster with three heads and you don't know what to do with it.
All right, I just can't believe that nobody raised their hand and said, hey, guys, you know this sucks, right? Let's not do this. Let's not continue to go down this path of throwing good money after bad. I don't understand how you can make a decision like that as a business.
That guy got fired.
That guy probably got. Yeah, there's always a head or two that are going to roll. But and that's why the movies that we see and the movies that get made, they're looking to brands, they're looking to franchises, they're looking to the Dark Knight, the Hunger Games, they're looking for a book that was successful, a TV show, a movie, and really investing heavy dollars in those because people know them, they're brands, and they have a good chance of making money.
All right, let's look forward this summer. What do we have coming up?
Well, summer's over, Kevin. How was it for you?
What?
I mean, seriously, guys, where do we go from here? Right? The Avengers just crossed $1 billion. It's huge. I can't see anything touching it this summer.
Right. Men in Black says summer to me, though, just because we have a history with those franchise films coming out in the summer.
Well, we definitely do. There are a lot of franchise films coming out. But like I said, The Avengers, going to be interesting to see if anything can take that out. But The Dictator, I heard you guys talking to Sasha earlier today.
Very excited about that.
And that's the first big comedy out of the gate. And frankly, one of the few comedies. This summer is so heavily loaded with action picks and explosive kinds of blockbusters that it'll be interesting to see how that movie does. But we have Battleship, we have a little romantic comedy, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Oh, yeah. A lot of good people in that.
Cameron Diaz. By the way, if there's one name...
And Cameron Diaz.
Well, I was just going to say, if there's one thing that says a movie I'm not going to go see...
Yeah, me too.
It's probably Cameron Diaz.
Me too.
And Jennifer Lopez. Right? But that's what you get. It's counter-program. It's them saying, all right, if you don't want to go see one of the big blockbusters, what are you going to go see? You know, but Men in Black 3, Bean, I think is the first movie that's really going to make a big dent. Now, we have to remember, the first Men in Black, good. Second Men in Black, not so good. Mm-hmm. How's the third Men in Black going to be with Josh Brolin? And he's great, and I think that's going to be fine. But
You haven't seen that yet, though, right?
No, haven't seen that yet. Snow White and the Huntsman. Coming out, Piranha 3DD.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, stop it.
It's when two movie. D's are just not enough.
That's correct.
You know what I'm saying?
That's correct.
That's the what.
You know what? That last summer, that was the best, or two summers ago, whenever it was, that was the best worst movie.
I agree.
We all went.
Best worst.
Right?
It was awesome. It was so awesome.
But
all right, let's talk about a couple of the biggies and tell me if you've seen Prometheus, for instance, the Ridley Scott film, which has a great cast, Michael Fassbender, Charlize Theron again.
It looks so creepy.
What do we know about Prometheus?
It looks so creepy. You know what? I've seen the same thing that you guys have seen. They've been releasing little clips, whether it's on moviephone.com or other movie websites. And I would have to say I'm probably looking most forward to this movie.
Really?
Because of Charlize Theron?
Because it's Alien, and look at the director, look at Ridley Scott for, Blade Runner, Gladiator, Black Hawk Down. I mean, this is a guy who knows how to make a movie like this. I think it's going to be awesome. Let's listen to a clip.
These are ancient civilizations.
They're smiling.
I think they want us to come and find them.
We're all here because of a map you two kids found in a cave.
Not a map. An invitation.
From whom?
Prometheus, are you seeing this?
These things moving?
They're leaving.
To go where?
Earth.
We were so wrong.
Take us home! If you don't stop it, they won't give you home to go back to.
Why is that door open?
I didn't understand a word of that, but it sounded great.
No, it sounds great, and Lisa's over here shaking her head like, oh, my God.
What? It's so creepy.
I'm with you.
It's creepy. But what's wrong with movies where people are just having a conversation? What's wrong with that? Right.
This doesn't seem to be much of that this summer.
Awesome. It looks awesome. It looks spectacular. I cannot wait for that movie. I would have to say the next movie that that I think is going to be one of the huge movies of summer, going out on a limb there, but The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes, this looks so good.
It looks so good. And the question is, the last Dark Knight movie, you know, with the whole Heath Ledger thing and just had this mystique built around it, and it just built and built and built and ended up being a good movie, so it was a huge box office success. How is this one going to be? I don't know. Let's listen to a clip.
What are you?
I'm Gotham's Reckoning.
Did they kill him?
I'm not sure.
Huh? Why didn't you just kill me?
Your punishment must be more severe.
Do you think he's coming back?
I don't know. Why would you run, Bane?
You should be as afraid of him as I am. You've given them everything.
Not everything. Not yet.
Come on.
Come on!
Look, you've got the Nolan brothers writing and directing. You've got Christian Bale back as Batman. I don't see how this is anything but great.
It would help if they would subtitle it when he talks.
That might be true, but you've got that. You've got the Amazing Spider-Man, which really just kind of looks like the last Spider-Man. I guess the studios think we have very short memories.
We do.
I didn't even know this was coming out.
Yeah,
what? Spider-Man?
Really? Yeah, no. With Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's a reboot. It's a quick reboot. It's like a 5-year reboot. But you've got that. You've got The Bourne Legacy with Jeremy Renner.
Oh, yeah.
This time, that's going to be huge. So
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is another one that's got a built-in book audience that sounds like it might be a funny concept for a movie.
Yeah, and for families, Madagascar 3, which I didn't think those movies were ever great, but I always enjoyed them. Yeah. Right? They were just really fun family entertainment. Brave from Pixar just looks awesome. So there are so many great summer movies coming out. Big, big, big summer movies. One of the things I like to do is I like to think about, okay, so what are the movies that are just going to tank? They're absolutely going to bomb. You could argue that Dark Shadows, a movie that costs $150 million
to make. It costs that much?
$150 million to make.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch.
Would it make 28 the first?
Yeah, 29, something like that. But... you know, it's not gonna carry,
right,
and so that's gonna be maybe one of summer's first bombs. But you know, then I think about movies like Rock of Ages.
I like
the silence in the room. Rock of Ages, dead silence.
Yeah, I can't get my head around that. It looks terrible.
It could be awesome.
It could be
horrible.
Kevin, it could be great. Let's listen to a clip.
Could be either.
Tonight, the Bourbon Room, Stacey Jacks.
So start drinking now.
No. Now go.
Our whole existence is riding on Stacey Jacks.
We're gonna shut them down.
Oh my God, I just threw up. Where? In my...
Ladies and gentlemen, the icon of rock, Stacey Jacks.
I am gonna light this place on fire.
How are you at being able to separate Tom Cruise, the personality, from Tom Cruise, the actor, to make him believable in a role like this?
I am pretty sure I would rather stab myself in the eye than have to watch this movie. This is one of those movies where you guys get the benefit of going, okay, Tom Cruise, you know, posing and singing and with hair.
His long hair.
Yeah, you get to say, you know what? I'm not going to go see that. There's no chance I would spend money on that.
I will tell you, people generally love that musical.
No, people do.
They do.
Oh, well, they love the musical.
The musical. Here in L.A., and they loved
it.
Yeah,
because it's a throwback. The music's good. But now you put Tom Cruise in there, who's just stinking up the room.
I don't get it.
Alec Baldwin looks ridiculous in the hair.
He does.
He really does, right? So that's one of the movies that I think there's a good chance, even though on Broadway, and the play is done very well, that might be one of those movies where people just go, nope.
Is it crazy expensive?
Sorry, not coming.
It's crazy expensive, and it's just crazy.
It's stupid.
It's just plain stupid. So,
so
I think that's got a good chance of really being a disaster. Another movie that I am so not looking forward to is That's My Boy with Adam Sandler.
Oh yeah.
He's
burned too many bridges, even for his fans, hasn't he?
He is now consistently the worst movie maker alive.
He really is. But you know what? These movies make money.
I know they do.
Who goes to see them?
I used to.
Right, you used to, but you don't anymore. Because at some point you said, yeah, that's old, and that's so tired, and I'm just not going to do that anymore. And at some point, everybody else is going to say that, too.
I hope.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
But
What about Ted? Ted looks great.
Yeah,
Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah, but it's a weird concept. Right?
I know, I love it.
Teddy Bear comes to life. Seth MacFarlane, everything he does.
He's a genius.
He's a genius. It's sort of like Sacha Baron Cohen. There are going to be people that don't like the taste of what's going on there, but, you know, for the most part, it's good. And it's a quirky movie, Ted, that I think might end up doing pretty well.
I am very sad that we're out of time because I would love to talk movies with Mr. Movie Phone all day long, but we're going to have to say goodbye for right now, Russ Leatherman.
Really?
I'm sorry. I know.
No, but let me just
all the way here.
I know. I came all the way from Westwood. But let me tell you guys that it's so awesome to sit here because I do tons of radio stations, but K-Rock, it's always been the station I listen to. It's my kind of music. You guys are my kind of people, and it is fabulous sitting here in the studio.
Are you insulted that our movie reviewer automatically on purpose doesn't watch the movies?
No, it's on par with the show, okay. Right? It makes perfect sense, really.
But that's our commitment to mediocrity.
Yeah. Just wanted to check.
No. And that's why I like to chip in every now and again.
Okay. Thanks, Russ. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
All right, then. I'll go. What's going on? What, can you guys not hear me?
Bad things. Now we can, yes.
How about Men in Black 3? I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
It's happening in theaters everywhere Friday, May the 25th. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, I'm going to send you to the lot over there at Sony Pictures, and you're going to see the movie and our special K-Rock advance screening of Men in Black 3 happening Wednesday, May the 23rd. So if you can't make it, don't bother to call. But if you'd like to go, I've got three pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to see Men in Black 3. While we're talking about movies, great news. Again, I am not a big fan of the remakes and the reboots and the sequels, but they are redoing the classic 1976 horror film Carrie, based on the Stephen King novel. Chloe Moretz will be playing Carrie in the new version, and they just announced who will be playing her mom, Julianne Moore, stepping in as the mom in that film, which is a creepy, creepy role, and I think Julianne will be excellent in it because she is a brilliant actress. Piper Laurie played the role in the original, and I believe she was nominated for an Oscar for her performance in that, as was Sissy Spacek as Carrie. So, good news for that remake. I think it's going to be excellent.
All right.
Elton John threw a hissy fit on stage Friday night in Las Vegas. He was doing his show at Caesars at the Coliseum, and no one's really sure what was going on, but he was pissed. He kept drinking out of his water pitcher and then tossing the rest of it on stage.
Wow.
So and then he's famously dry, right? He doesn't drink.
Yeah. So the crew had to come out and mop up the floor with all the water was on there because he's got dancers and stuff during his show.
Right.
Did it again. Did it a third time. Did it a fourth time.
What the hell?
Threw his piano bench and then went on an X-rated tirade complaining about his management team saying someone's going to be effing fired.
Wow.
No clue what started this tirade, but the show was apparently being filmed by several people in the audience. So I'm sure we'll see clips sometime soon. Insiders say Elton may have a bad case of vaginosis, so we'll have to wait and see what the problem was. Maybe he just needs a little cream to clear that all up. And Peter Berg had an interesting conversation with an Israeli interviewer this week. He was over there promoting his movie Battleship. And he got into an interesting conversation about Israeli-Iranian politics and how Iran is the biggest threat to world peace, and Israeli has to step in. And this poor Israeli interviewer, this 25-year-old guy, I think was just a little flummoxed by the whole conversation.
Well, he thinks he's talking about Battleship.
Well, that's because he was there to talk about Battleship.
Right.
That's why he was confused. It was a giant Battleship poster that was behind Steven Berg as they were doing the press junket for the movie Battleship that probably threw him into thinking he was going to be talking about Battleship, not world politics, and certainly not about his own record as a draft dodger, which Peter Berg got into. Here's a little taste of the video.
You know, if you attack Iran now, they're going to fight you back, right? There's going to be blood. Israelis will die, right?
Yes.
Would you rather take that now or let them get a nuclear bomb? It's the most serious issue facing our planet today.
Well,
more so than the movie Battleship, which I'm very excited to have directed. Have you been in the Israeli army?
No.
What? How'd you get out of that? Are you a draft dodger? How old are you?
25.
You've got to join the army, motherfucker.
Yeah. Get the hell out of here. Get out of this room.
God.
Go pick up a gun. Kill an Iranian. What's happening?
That guy doesn't sound qualified to be doing movie interviews, by the way. Much less joining the army.
What?
Guy sounds like a zero, doesn't he? The interviewer?
Well, he didn't say anything.
But listen to him. He sounds like an idiot.
No, he sounds like a guy who's seriously confused about what they were going to talk about.
Guy's being bum-rushed about world politics in an interview about Battleship.
He ought to be able to do better than, I guess every country has their beer mug.
Wow.
I guess every country has a bean, too.
I think Peter Bird was a bad guy there.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm shocked at how poorly the interviewer was able to handle it,
though. Oh, we would have done no better.
Today's celebrity birthday is Chaz Palminteri, 60 years old today. Dan Patrick turns 56. Russell Hornsby from Grimm. He's 38 years old today. Jamie Lynn Sigler from The Sopranos is 31. Brad Schultz of Cage the Elephant turns 30 years old today. And David Krumholtz, very talented actor who was in a series called Numbers for many seasons, 34 years old today. I remember as if it was yesterday when Beer Mug cornered him on the red carpet and made his life a living hell.
I loved you in Slums of Beverly Hills. I know. And you know what? I'm going to go even further back. Adam's Family Values.
Do you like any of my recent work?
I haven't seen any of your recent work, David.
See?
What a tribute.
Could have been worse for David, for Peter Berg in Israel. It could have had this particular Jew talking to him across the carpet.
He's magic.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Black Keys tickets this hour for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. All the details on how you can win the van on the front of the El Camino album cover. Available at krock.com. Funny, by the way, that the album is called El Camino. The vehicle on the front of it, the one that we're giving away, is not an El Camino. It's a van. Let's turn our attention to Italy. This is one of the strangest election stories I've ever seen. Lisa may follow this. There's only 507 inhabitants in this little town in Italy, the town of Somalias, which I'm sure I'm not pronouncing correctly. So there's a guy who wants to be the mayor there. His name is Gino Bartolo. He's running for mayor. But if you don't get enough votes, if enough people don't come out to vote, then you don't win. Even if you are unanimously elected, you have to have a certain number of people vote. So this guy says, nobody's going to go out to vote if I'm the only guy on the ballot. I need some competition. So he asks his friend, hey, can I put you on the ballot so that at least I have somebody running against me so that if when I win, it'll be certified and it'll be real and I'll win. Well, you can see where this story is headed. The guy no one ever heard of, who never campaigned 1 minute to be the mayor of this town in Italy, is the one that ended up getting more votes than Gino.
They did not like Gino.
He got 160 votes and Gino got 117.
So Fabio Borsardi, a guy who doesn't even live in the town, had no interest in being mayor, basically just did it as a favor to his friend Gino, is now the mayor of the town in Italy. What's that deal? What's that like, do you think?
Well, we have him on the line if you'd like to talk to him.
What? Yeah. Fabio?
Hey, how you go? How's it going in America? Hey, how you do?
So, Fabio,
How you do?
Well, we're fine. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Mayor. I think I just explained as best I could, but did I leave anything out? I'm right. You didn't want to be the mayor. You just put your name on the ballot as a favor to your friend Gino, right?
That's right. Gino come at me and say, hey, look, I need someone to run against me in the election, so it's official. And I say, hey, no problem. Of course, what am I going to do for a friend? So I put a name on a ballot. And next thing, boom, bada bing, bada boom, bada boom. I am mayor in this town. It's unbelievable.
But why did so many people vote for you, a candidate that they had never heard of before?
I only can think one thing. They think I'm the model from the front of the books.
Fabio?
Yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
My name's Fabio.
Your name's Fabio? Yeah. His name's Fabio.
His name's Fabio.
But he's a douchebag.
He's a douchebag.
Right.
But he's a good looker.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a good looker.
Right.
He's got the long flow of hair.
Right.
He's
yes,
got
he
the big muscles and the push-up and the pectorales.
Right. Yes, he's well-built.
He's got this stomach, which you can see many different packs of.
Okay. All right, we got
he's
it.
He's got this.
We understand.
And a swarthy skin.
He's hot, right. We got you.
He's a very romantic figure on a cover of romance novels.
Right. That's the other Fabio, right. But
many
we're talking about.
Ladies are like a Fabio.
Understood.
I was there many people like a Fabio.
Yes, you're
but
correct.
But I think, it's my chance to vote for Fabio for mayor.
Okay.
I
Mr.
have
mayor.
Taken advantage of this opportunity I have to vote for Fabio for mayor. And
right.
Next thing you know, it's me, Fabio.
a smaller but humble hotel proprietor here in Chimalaya.
Now, how do you look as compared to the Fabio?
Hey,
don't ask
me
any more Fabio
don't
questions.
Don't get me wrong. I'm no Fabio.
All right.
Fabio is a tall fella. He's like 6'2".
No, I was asking how you look.
He's got to be pushing the 220, I think, in terms of weight.
Right.
He is a very built up, like lift a many weights up for a long, long time to get a physique like that.
All right.
And also, he's got a face. He's like a carved marble, like he's a statue.
Right.
That you only see when you go to the Colosseum or a place like that. You say, oh, look, Michelangelo has picked up another chisel and hammer and has worked his magic on a piece of granite. He's made us a person that's unbelievable. The person that appeals to the women, appeals to the men, the children, everybody love Fabio.
All right. Let me ask another question.
I gotta go. See you.
What?
I'm out of time. I gotta go do mayor things.
What?
I gotta go cut a ribbon on a new museum here in the town.
Okay. Do you have time to ask?
For Fabio. Oh, I love Fabio.
All right. Never.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday Kevin Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph Garman?
Just talking about Kate Gosselin. Did you hear her cruise got canceled?
This is the
Kate Gosselin
Kate
fan,
plus eight, that
fan
one?
Cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a deal where she was going to get a cruise ship filled with her fans to spend the week with her on the open seas. And she would meet with them and autograph sign, and they would dance and drink together, and all of her fans would come in one place, and they would all enjoy a week on the open seas.
I'm not
together.
Just saying this to be mean, but who would be a fan of her?
Kevin, all of the Kate Gosselin fans, all those people who watch Kate and John plus Hate, and all the fans of her on Dancing with the Stars, and all of her fans of her and her.
I don't
parenting skills, all of those things.
I don't see the fans.
Well, you'll be tragically saddened to hear they had to cancel that cruise.
Oh, no fans?
Sales weren't what they thought they might be.
Hmm. Was she going to have her kids with her on the cruise?
I don't believe so. I think it was just going to be Kate interacting with her fans.
I thought maybe the screaming brats running around all over the ship would be the deal breaker for some folks. But
well, that was a miscalculation.
No, anybody that's a fan of Kate Gosselin would have to love to see the little
gremlins
running around. So they had to cancel the cruise, but apparently both of the ticket purchasers got their money back, so it all worked out in the end. Kate may lose her two oldest kids, by the way. Maddie and Kara, who are 11, apparently can decide if they want to go stay with their mom or go live with their dad, John, when they turn 12.
Wow, that's two bad choices.
That is a rock and a hard place, isn't it? Can we just decide not to reach 12? The girls asked, but sadly, no, they have to. So. Jessica Simpson just had her baby 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But she's already launched her own line of maternity clothing. Jessica Simpson Maternity will be sold at Destination Maternity. Is there such a store?
I don't know. Never heard of it.
Apparently there is.
Okay.
Sounds like a military operation. Destination Maternity. All right. We're going to go in there. We're going to drop some soldiers. We're going to impregnate the enemy. Motherhood Maternity and Macy's stores will all sell Jessica's line coming this fall. So you'll be able to buy Jessica Simpson clothing.
Overruled!
I think one of Jessica's maternity clothes will fit that bride you guys were talking
about. The 800-pound bride?
Yeah, I think it should just about cover her. So.
We were talking when you were out, Ralph, about the Jessica Simpson, the potential that she has for earning now that she's a mom and expanding her already successful clothing line into baby clothes and strollers and shoes and all the other stuff. She stands to make tens of millions of dollars off of having this kid.
Tens of millions of dollars more.
Yeah. And didn't she get, she got 800 grand or something like that selling the photos this week, too. I mean, it's just, it's a cash cow.
It's a cow.
It's insane.
Cow being the
definitely a cow.
Word.
Yeah.
Sarah Hyland from Modern Family. She's so adorable on that show. Who would have known all this time she was a very sick young lady? Since she was 9 years old, she's had a condition that caused her kidneys to fail.
Oh.
And so she was in pain often and run down almost all the time. For her entire career. She's been an actress since she was 5 years old, by the way. I had no idea she played Howard Stern's daughter in Private Parts, the movie.
Yes.
Who knew?
That's right.
Yeah. Bean did.
Yeah.
And she, of course, is on Modern Family. She said you may have noticed that her character on that show texts a lot and sits down and lies down a lot. It's because she has just been so tired because of her kidneys failing. Well, the good news is on April the 13th, she got a kidney transplant from her father. And she is undergoing recovery now. She's taking her meds. By all accounts, she's recovering quite nicely.
Wow, that's good.
It is.
Hey, I know from House, it's bad when your kidneys fail.
I know from House.
gonna
House is my doctor.
Could you extrapolate that into the real world and just
Bean
assume it's bad?
Has
when
no real world. Failed. He just knows TV.
Dr. House is the only doctor I ever visit.
Yeah, her father gave her the kidney, which I think is just that's a little too much.
You too
know,
much?
I know you love your daughter and all, but let's not get nuts. Start giving up body parts. I hope my kid never comes asking for a kidney because that is just off the
Daddy
table.
Daddy Ralph, can
that
I
is
have
not up for conversation.
A kidney?
Well, you know, go out there and earn your kidney like I did, okay? Go out there in the real world. You find out kidneys just don't grow on trees. Damn kids always asking for something. Now, now they want the organs.
You do have to put them in their place.
If I could say on a serious note, Ralph.
Oh, please.
It blows my mind that people die in this country, in any country, because they need a kidney. It blows my mind because not only are we burying kidneys every day in the ground from people who are dead, who don't make the organ, you know, organ donations clear, but you can get a kidney from a live person. How is anyone dying from not having a kidney when there's live people in the world that can give up a kidney easily?
Because,
I don't even understand it.
Because they're mine, and I want to keep them.
All right.
They're in my body.
Right, but you
so,
don't need
get
two kidneys.
Your hands off my kidneys. How do you know? How do you know?
Maybe Ralph alternates
because
which kidney he uses.
Maybe
each
I do.
Day.
You don't know.
And if you give up a kidney, the kidney that you have left, it grows and expands to take on the work
great,
of both kidneys.
Great. Just what I need now is a king sized kidney. It's bad enough I lost one. Now I'm all lopsided because one of my kidneys is all overgrown.
Why don't
you get
saying,
learn some science, Bean?
That isn't good for you.
Unbelievably frustrating to see people die or near death because they need kidneys when they're so readily available in the world.
How many have you given?
You should give both of yours, Bean.
It's a good idea.
And your heart. whatever you have left in there.
No. What movie was that where the girl got the eye of a serial killer? And
yes, that's
remember
right.
Remember that?
There's been a couple movies like that. I remember one hand. Somebody got a hand.
Jessica
of a killer,
Alba or somebody like I can't remember.
That's right. The eye. Was it called the eye?
The eye.
The eye.
You don't want Bean's heart. That's my point.
That's true. Can you imagine if you had that black piece of stone in your chest? Oh, my God. The things you would do. The atrocities you would commit. The mind reels. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Chaz Palminteri is 60 years old today. Dan Patrick of TV and radio fame turns 56. Russell Hornsby from the movie, TV series rather, Grimm is 38 years old. Jamie Lynn Sigler is 31 years old. She was Meadow Sopranos on The Sopranos. Brad Schultz, guitarist for Cage the Elephant, is 30 years old. And actor David Krumholtz from Numbers is 34 years old today. I just want to give you a heads up. Saturday night, Jay Moore and I will be doing Hollywood Babylon up at the John Lovitz Comedy Theater. Saturday night at 10 p.m. If you'd like to see me and Jay Moore do HBO, come on up and see us. 1-800, I'll give you the number. Go to thelovitz.com. That's the easiest way for ticket sales and for information. Thelovitz.com. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to check in with the Armenian comedian who apparently has a semi-regular gig now.
Really?
What's he doing?
How
he got a job?
Possible?
With a band.
The music, right? The music's taken off.
The music has come through for him.
Well, he's a hyphenate. He's an actor. He's a comedian.
Oh my
he's
God.
A musician. He's got so much going
on. So we need to talk to him and get an update. We also have American.
And I'd like to say, if I could just add one more thing. We gave a lot of props to Sacha Baron Cohen for being on the program today for his brilliant characters. What about the character the Armenian comedian has been playing since we've known him? And he never drops character. It's
I'm
incredible.
All excited, brothers.
This idiot that he plays, that he stumbles through life in, I can't see the seams in the character.
No, he's a genius, no question about
it. I heard
it.
He kept it up even in jail.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't even drop it there.
We also have tickets for American Idiot here in town, so we're going to play another game for that. We have
Nice segue, by the way, from Armenian comedian into American Idiot.
Based on, I don't know if you heard this, yesterday, Ralph, while you were out, we found out that you could buy the Queen of England's panties.
I heard they're for eBay, right?
On eBay.
Yeah,
so we are going to take calls from people who bought celebrity items on eBay, because some of that stuff is crap.
Are you buying the panties, Kevin?
I'm not buying
the
panties.
I know
you're
a big fan.
I am not. The Queen skid marks do not.
saw them at the truth.
Good panties.
Do not need to be in my house. And Anna Faris will be on the program tomorrow, too, talking about the dictator. So that is all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.